everyone.
Welcome back to N-Express, where we are at our main event, a discussion of possibly one of the greatest Mario games. Undoubtedly one of the greatest Mario games of all time. Possibly the best Mario game of all time, which is really saying something, especially in my book. And that is Super Mario Galaxy. It's so high up there, it's hard not to just lose your mind with excitement when talking about it. I'm so glad we're finally here. I've been looking forward to this particular discussion since the very beginning.
So you've been more excited to talk about Super Mario Galaxy as opposed to Super Mario 64?
Yeah, see, wow. Super Mario 64 is such, like, it's revered, and I love it, but it's also a product of its time. Mm-hmm. And I think that of all Mario games, Super Mario Galaxy escaped its time and became timeless almost instantaneously. And I think that's very, very rare quality in games.
I agree with you. I mean, even today, it's still like such a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it took everything that was great about Mario 64 and made it so much better in Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, and I think that coming out of Sunshine, you all heard last week's discussion, I hope. If not, go listen to it. Don't expect anything great out of it, though, because none of us were thrilled. So our expectations were immediately low. And then Mario Galaxy came and completely blew every expectation out of the water.
Yeah.
And it could have done that even if Sunshine was the best game ever. It still could have done that because this game was unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
It's like mastery of 3D Mario platforming.
Yeah,
still issues with the camera, though.
With the what?
The camera.
Oh my god, I totally disagree.
Really? I had problems with it. Some areas, okay? I'm not completely saying that the camera system is bad, but there are some areas where, like, the camera got stuck behind a rock and I lost track of Mario.
Really? Not me.
Really?
Okay, so here's the thing. So I started playing this game about 4 days ago, thinking that I would complete it before the podcast because I remember it not being, like, the most difficult Super Mario game.
No.
I'm just a bit more than halfway through the game. I think I have 40 stars, and that's that. I'm not talking about 100% completing the game, but just getting like the 60 so I can do test out all the levels and, you know, sort of like finish the game. So I have like 40 stars. I've been playing the game, and after bitching and complaining about the camera system in Super Mario Sunshine and Super Mario 64, I gotta tell you, it was so refreshing and so relaxing and so peaceful. I'm going to use the word peaceful here. I felt at peace playing this game because I just, like, laid back, had my nunchuck and my Wii controller, just played this game without any stress. And I've had a very stressful week, and this game, I think, saved my life. Like, I needed to go back to this game to play it.
Even in the water level?
The water level. Oh my god, I wanted to talk about this. The water level.
Wait, are you going to say you like the water level?
Okay, now, I talked about this 2 weeks ago on the podcast. And I think I said that no matter what video game, underwater levels are usually boring because you leave the core mechanics behind and you lose the special abilities and or basic abilities of the character you're playing because they are basically swimming around in this water level. In this game, it's so much smoother and easier to control him than it is in any Mario game before. So even the underwater levels was a breeze. Like, you know, there's like one level where you have to destroy the eels, the giant eels. It was so simple. You just pick up a shell, chase after the eel, and then throw it at the eel. It was so easy. Whereas in the previous games, like, you know, Mario 64, there's some incredible, ingenious levels that take place underwater, like the levels with the pirate ship and whatnot. But it's so time consuming, and I feel like he moves so slow that I just can't wait to finish those levels. I can get back to, say, TikTok Clock Land, whatever it's called, and or, you know, some of the other great levels in that game. In this game, there isn't very much underwater levels to begin with. I think there's like two that I think that I can remember that I've played recently in the past 4 days. The thing I love about this game, so first of all, the camera system, I don't think it's at all a problem. I mean, Mario can, of course, walk in any direction, left, right, upside down. Like, I mean, like at times I feel like my head's like tilting. Like,
I was gonna say that. I was getting a bit of motion sickness a couple of times.
Well, I'm actually afraid of heights. And so when I play Mario Galaxy, one of the thrills is being on a ledge and or being in like the middle of like the galaxy and not sure if you're going to fall over, if you mm-hmm. walk over the ledge, and or if it's just going to like bring you to the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like I can't explain it. It's not like a fear, but it's kind of like just kind of like I'm never certain, and it took a while to get used to it. But
well, it's like getting vertigo, right? Because like sometimes you lose focus on what side you're actually looking at. There's some levels where that takes place indoors,
yeah,
and then you just kind of forget what's up and what's down.
Yeah, but I honestly did not have one single problem with the camera system playing this game in the past four days. Like I'm not gonna say that it's not possible that there could be a moment or two where the camera might get stuck behind a rock.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
it's possible.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like I'm not saying that the camera system is like atrocious. I'm not saying that this is Super Mario 64 or Sunshine. I'm saying like there's a couple of, let's just say, stumbles in the camera system, but it's nothing that takes you out of the experience, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't remember having any sort of camera issues throughout the entire game.
You know what I completely forgot about, though? Because when we talk about costumes and power-ups, we always go back to Super Mario 3 and or Super Mario World.
Mm-hmm.
I completely forgot how many power-ups this game has. It has 9 power-ups, special costumes. Can I just remind everyone that Mario turns into a Boo?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So good.
That is my favorite part of the whole entire game. I completely forgot about how you have to save Luigi by turning into a Boo in order to get through the jail bars.
Mm-hmm.
What, love it.
What a great reference that they're already linking Luigi and Boos together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then there's, of course, the Bee Mario.
Which is maybe the best Mario since I would say Tanuki, but I would offend someone here, so I'm going to say since Cape.
Cape, okay.
I don't know if I would call it the best.
It's so good. It's like, he looks great. It's totally different. I remember, like, buzzing around doing his little, like, lifty jumping, and then also being able to stick to the honeycombs. Sure, it's, like, only useful on a couple of levels, but the fact that it does more than just one simple trick, like, it's not just, like, oh, you fly a little bit. The fact that it's, like, you can, like, buzz around and you can stick to these walls, and that like develops a full new way to do these 3D puzzles.
Well, that's
that was brilliant.
That's the thing about this game that makes it so amazing. Like, the level designs are incredible, the visuals are incredible, the art direction is incredible. But the thing about these levels is, unlike previous Mario games, there's like an obstacle in each course, but you go through so many different motions and have to use so many different abilities to get to the very end. Like, you might need to rely on wall jumping, and then you'll have to turn into a bee, and then you'll have to solve a puzzle in order to get through a moving obstacle, and then, you know, I don't know what. Like, it just, there's like this incredible transformation within each level that Mario has to go through in order to complete the goal and task. And I just like replaying this game again. Like, it's funny because we are going to have to eventually decide in a couple of weeks what the best Mario platformer is. And I got to tell you guys, this is slowly edging its way to the very top of the list because, again, like Super Mario 3, a game that I raved about a few weeks ago, that game, for its time, for what they can do based on the technology they had, I think that game is flawless. I think this game is flawless. The only nitpick I have with this game is, and it's not just with this game, it becomes a problem with each and every single Mario game after Mario jumped into like 3D form, is essentially like the coins are pretty much useless. Like, I still have to get each and every single coin, which is why it takes me so long to complete some of these levels, but they don't really do much. Like, it helps when you get hurt and it sort of like heals you, but you only need like one coin or like one or two or three coins to like heal yourself fully. But apart from that, you get hundreds of coins and they don't really do much because the one-ups come so easy. I mean, you know, you go back to the hub and you get a letter delivery from Peach, from Toad, and she's like, hey, how's it going, Mario? I'm still captured. I hope you're coming to rescue me. And by the way, here's 5 one-ups. Do you want them? Of course I want them. So yeah, just the coins, like the ice flower, dude.
So cool. But I'm
the fire flower and the ice flower, and the fact that you need the ice flower in order to get through some levels because, of course, it's all lava and it's the only way you can skate over the lava. Mm-hmm. The rainbow star. There's all these like cool little things. Like, for example, there's one level. I'm not entirely sure what you would call it, but it's sort of like this. It acts like a slingshot. It's like the sticky substance. So he sticks to it, and with the Wii remote, you pull back.
Yeah.
And you launch Mario. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what you would call those things, but that's pretty cool. And I just love the fact that Mario can freeze water, and that's actually one of my favorite levels too. Like, because you need to freeze the water fountains in order to jump on the water in order to get over a ledge. I thought that was like ingenious. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's very, very. It seems like it's always been a part of Mario. It's so classic and it feels essential to Mario.
For me, it would have to be the boss battles too. I don't know. Did you guys like the boss battles?
Yes. These are the best boss battles Mario's ever had.
Yeah, I had to say, like, these were the coolest boss battles ever in the Mario game. I mean, it's all the stuff you have to do.
Well, here's the thing. So with Super Mario 64, one of my nitpicks was the boss battles because you have to fight Bowser 3 times.
Yeah, some of them were lame too.
Yeah, it was lame. I mean, each and every single one of those times, you basically have to do the exact same thing, pick him up by the tail and throw him, right? Mm. So not only was it repetitive, but I just kind of felt that it was a little too easy and not very challenging. These boss battles are amazing. Like, do you remember the giant spider in space?
Yeah. Where you have to, like, slingshot?
Yeah. Like, that was incredible. I don't know if it's my favorite boss battles because I still love the boss battles in Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Mm. Like, those, to me, I think are, like, the highlight of boss battles for a Super Mario platformer. But I would put Mario Galaxy in second place.
See, that's a fair statement. Mm-hmm. I feel like Yoshi had so many great bosses. That was kind of one of the emphases of the game. It's just like these bosses that fit perfectly into the world. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember having any more fun than when I fought. I remember the boss's name, which is saying something. Boldergeist?
Yeah.
That boss was unreal cool. First of all, he's spitting black booze at you with yellow eyes. Mm-hmm. And those guys are rad. But then the boss himself is like a weird, like, ghost boulder. I don't even know. Hence Boldergeist. It's such a funny wordplay. He's such a fun design where you're like swinging these enemies back at him. And I thought that that was just completely different from any of the other bosses. It wasn't anything like the initial dragon fight. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything like the last final fight. It's just kind of its own in the middle of the game boss fight that you never repeat anything like that.
Well, he actually comes back in the sequel because he's so popular. So he's essentially like a huge column of rocks that sort of make the shape of a face. And he is clearly the most memorable boss, I think, in Super Mario Galaxy, the first one. Mega Lake, that's his name. Mega Lake is awesome. Mega Lake is the giant, so not the spider that I was talking about previously. Mega Lake is a giant robotic sort of creature that looks like a spider, but he's only got 3 legs. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, that is one of the best boss battles.
Oh, okay, Mega Lake, the giant mech thing.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were talking about the spider.
No. Okay, so Mega Lake is a giant, whatever you call it, and the spider is Mandy Bugstack.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, no. You know what? I'm gonna have to think about this. Maybe I will have to put this at number one for boss battles, if not for Boldergeist and Mega Lake. But I still have this fondness for Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Like, I love the boss battles in that game. Mm-hmm. But you know what else I love about this game too is the hub, because I wasn't a big fan of the hub in Sunshine. I wasn't a big fan of Sunshine to begin with. Mm-hmm. The hub in Super Mario 64 was fine because it was essentially just a castle, and it was cool because it was, you know, you didn't have to really walk around too far or get lost or whatnot. But this just had so much personality to it. Like, you know, it was a giant castle essentially. It was like, you know, there's like a bedroom and there's the kitchen and the library. And I like the fact that if you go into the library, you can hear the story of Rosalina and Luma, but you don't have to. So it's not forced on you. So although the game does have a few cutscenes at the beginning, like it does have sort of like, I guess, a 5-minute prologue, it isn't very long. And if you don't want to go into the library and hear Rosalina read out the story of her life to you, you don't have to. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's like they learned every single lesson from Sunshine. Like, the prologue's really, really short.
Yeah.
the hub is pretty small, but there's still just enough to explore that you find, you feel like you're discovering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like anytime you find a one up there, you're like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And it's like, it fits the aesthetic of the game perfectly, which they never get rid of the space aesthetic ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's always present. It's always, there's a friendly reminder that it's there.
And it's but nice to
every
look at.
Every single world is so unique and so well defined in itself,
mm-hmm.
that even with those friendly reminders, even when you walk over the ledge and you see just galaxies and stars off in the distance,
yeah,
it's like you still feel like you're in this happy little bumblebee world or this water world. And so I think it was like this perfect balance between what Sunshine tried to do and completely separating the worlds, where it's, you're in a totally separate world. You're not really that connected to the rest of the map outside of when you go outside and you're in this world map. So I thought that this game did the best job of connecting everything. And that space aesthetic alone is so, so visually stunning,
yeah,
and
is
so pleasing that I didn't ever want to leave it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Tired of beaches. Like, 64 was fine jumping into pictures, but I think that this perfectly captured, yes, you're in galaxies.
Well, especially...
And
especially
visit these fully realized worlds.
Yeah, I mean, especially like when you get into like the red stars and then you travel into other areas. I mean, when you see Mario flying around and the camera just like goes around Mario, you just see the scope of like the environment. You're just like, wow.
And that's never not fun, which is
exactly. It's never
really playing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still just as enjoyable as if you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is great about this game? I think that this game might have the best soundtrack.
And you see, yeah, and it does a lot of fan service too. I mean, there's soundtracks from the classic Mario games that comes back into Galaxy.
Well, the thing about the soundtrack is they actually composed, if I'm not mistaken, 3 or 4 different versions of the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Because they weren't entirely sure what kind of sound they wanted. And I was actually reading up on this, and apparently they initially pitched some sort of like Latin vibe. The soundtrack is actually composed by 50 people. It's a 50-player symphony orchestra. And there's a double soundtrack that they released. The original soundtrack, if I remember correctly, was only released on Club Nintendo at first.
Yeah.
And then it was only like what, like years later they released it. And then they released a double CD. But there's like 52 tracks. And it is some of the best music. Like, there are times where it reminds me of some of my favorite sci-fi movies, like Back to the Future or Star Wars. Just like the music in this game is amazing. And I still to this day cannot believe how amazing the controls are. Before I ever played Super Mario Galaxy, I was like, oh my god, I'm going to have to play a Mario platformer with like a nunchuck and a Wii remote. I was like, are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are you kidding? Dude, it's so easy to control Mario. It's easier to control him in Galaxy than in Mario 64, because even doing like a long jump or a backflip and or anything, like doing a backflip in 64, I mean, you have to get used to it. You have to get used to controls, period, because you're trying to do a backflip and all of a sudden you do like a long jump or what have you. But here, it's just so smooth. It's so easy. I love how it incorporates the Wii remote, but it's not
it's not
a gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't feel forced on you. That's one thing too.
Plus, there's the extra like the star bits.
Yeah.
Like almost for no reason, you're just like collecting star bits with the Wiimote. This is like an added mini game during the rest of the actual game.
Well, actually, the star bits do unlock secret levels. Will unlock a few bonus levels for you if you get enough star bits, and also it gives you free one ups, right? Mm-hmm. Free extra lives.
Yeah.
But the controls, it's just like I can't get over how amazing the controls are. I mean, just like the idea that Mario can have a spin attack now and all you have to do is shake your controller, it's a lot easier to destroy an enemy. And also, if you use the spin attack, I think if you use the spin attack, you'll get one of the star crystals. But if you stomp on the enemy, you'll get the coin. If you're injured, you're going to want the coins. You're going to stomp on an enemy. But if you just want the extra stars, because you want to get like an extra free life and or you want to open up one of these secret levels, then you use a spin attack.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't get over how they took what is essentially two controllers that connect and somehow made it easier to control Super Mario in a platformer game, which is what he's known for, because he's the king of platformers. Like, I honestly think it's easier to control Super Mario in this game than in any other game. I just love it. I love the fact that I just like love how relaxed I feel holding these two controllers. Like, it doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like it doesn't take very long to get used to. It takes like maybe like 2 minutes and that's it. And you get that, you do get the opening bit, which is part of the prologue, which you have to sort of like quickly get accustomed to the controls. Like, they're very smart, Nintendo. And like, there's this one level where Mario sort of, he doesn't turn into like a giant springboard, but he sort of gets like the springboard wraps around him. So it's sort of like a power-up slash costume. Yeah. And the way the level is designed is you have to jump a certain height to like an arrow before moving on and playing the level. So the idea is that they wanted to make sure that the player would at least know how to do like a high jump using a springboard before jumping into the level, because if not, then they would just die. You know, it's a typical Nintendo thing. Like, you make sure that the player understands the controls and the movements and the abilities of the character before he jumps full on into a stage, because then he's just going to lose an extra life and get frustrated. Like, little things like that Nintendo does so well, they perfect in this game. Like, perfect. Like, I'm using the word perfection here because I can't see a fault or a flaw in this game. I think this is one of the greatest games ever, not just one of the greatest Super Mario games, not just one of the greatest platformer games, one of the greatest games, period, no matter what genre, no matter what system, no matter what company. I think it's got to be on our top five when we talk about our top five in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I did not know this, maybe you guys did, but it was created by Nintendo EAD Tokyo Studio, whose first project was Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. So they made Donkey Kong Jungle Beat before making Super Mario Galaxy.
And it's a very natural progression right there.
And Jungle Beat was also a flop.
Yeah.
So they produced a flop for Nintendo and then somehow got control to make the first Super Mario game for the Wii, which is like their number one selling console of all time, and somehow they ended up making one of the greatest platformers ever. It's like,
you
amazing.
Know what, which is quite amazing though. I mean, you go from the bottom all the way to the top like that.
Hey, Jungle Beat's a fun game.
It's a discussion for another time, I guess.
Party game. That's what NX is,
like, bongo drums.
It's gonna be like the 3D visor, like just like the ugly red tripod stand from Virtual Boy, but just like strapped to your face, but the controller's just the bongo drum.
And then you have to wear the power glove to hit on the bongo drum.
Yeah, yeah. With the power glove.
With the power glove.
I'd buy it too.
So Super Mario Galaxy has, I think, 40 different galaxies.
Yeah.
Each contains like several challenges, courses, levels, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember the name of your favorite galaxy? Because I don't know if you played it recently. Like, I've just been replaying this game all week long.
No, I don't think I could nail down just one favorite galaxy ever any playthrough. Like, it says something that every single time I got to a new world, I was all of a sudden all about what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think not only are the controls flawlessly developed, I think that this is the closest Nintendo's ever gotten to flawless level design. Like, not only is every single mechanic within the game just like perfectly realized, but just every single idea they had was pure fun. Mm-hmm. Like, from the solid platforming to giving Mario like this, like anytime he's orbiting a planet, like you can run and jump and you start to like orbit a small planet. It's like thrilling and fun, and like almost like you're right, Ricky. It's kind of terrifying when you're like, am I just gonna like fly out into space and die? Like, they wouldn't do that to me, right? But it's just like everything that they shaped around this like theme of galaxies is pure fun, and I don't remember a level where I was ever any bit annoyed or just ready to move on. Like, every time they threw something my way, like the spring, I was just having a ton of fun doing like the high jump with the spring over and over and over.
Oh my god, now I remember what it's called. It's called the spring mushroom. Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
But there's also like, you know, I guess you would call them sort of bonus games. Like, there's small challenges, but there's one where you have to ride this giant mantra.
That was so cool. That was nice.
It's awesome.
The gameplay is always refreshing.
Yeah, it's because each and every single level is so different than the previous. It's like last week, your friend Ryan was asking, like, what's the difference between Galaxy and Sunshine? I'm like, well, Sunshine takes place on an island. Galaxy takes place across the universe. Like, and each and every single one of these galaxies is completely different. Like, just to go over the list here really quick, I'm not going to name them all because there's too many to name, but, like, one of my personal favorites is Dusty Dune Galaxy, which is basically a desert. Mm. And then you have, like, Bowser's Dark Batter Plant, which is an amazing level in itself. You have Bubble Breeze Galaxy, which is very similar to Sunshine because it takes place like on a beach, with Beach Bowl Galaxy. But then you also have Toy Time Galaxy, which is fantastic. Love it. You have, of course, the Lava Reactor, which is basically like being inside a volcano. Like, the variety is everywhere. Freeze Flame Galaxy, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Gusty Garden Galaxy. I mean, God, like, there is just so much to do in this game. My favorite obstacles or courses are when you're playing Mario and all of a sudden you get to this area and forget about gravity. It does not exist, right? It's gone. And so there's sort of like these arrows that will point up or down. And if they point down, it means you're going to fall downwards. But if they point up, it means you're going to float upwards, right? Because that's the way gravity is controlled. And so you have to make your way through the level without falling into a bottomless pit. Like, that level, or those levels, I should say, are like some of my favorite levels in any Mario game. I love them.
Anytime there was a level where they were kind of prioritizing speed, and it's like there's a lot of levels that were like he's running around on like generator looking spinny things. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the glass ball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not in the ball.
Those the generator awesome. Spinny thingy?
No, they're just like giant like space stations where you're just on the outside. Sometimes you can break inside of them.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were talking about the giant glass ball. Like, there's one course where
it's like a golf course.
Yeah, it's a golf course. Exactly. So you hop on this sort of like glass golf ball, and you have to steer this giant ball through the mini putt course to get to the very end
with the Wiimote. That's fine.
Yeah, which was like Super Monkey Ball in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also one where you go into a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You have to float around the stage and you use the Wii Remote in order to sort of blow the wind in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful because if your bubble hits this creature that has sort of like spikes on its side, of course the bubble will break and you'll fall into the like lava pit.
Yeah. And those ones are fun and really unique. They sound gimmicky, but they're not at all, which is surprising. No, but anytime it's like a level that's like you're hopping from planet to planet and you're jumping on these little space stations and you can kind of just fly as fast as you want to, like forgetting any consequences, I think that's when I was having the most fun, especially when you can really, really feel the effects of all the like the low feeling gravity and just like you're spinning upside down and you're like on the verge of dizzy, but it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I think the game truly shines.
I think all around the game really shines. I mean, it's like we just named all kinds of gameplay mechanics in Super Mario Galaxy, but it's like amazingly, this is only one game. So I think it just speaks to how great this video game really is.
In fact, it's so great. I think we need to stop right here, right now, and induct it into the N-Express Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we got to talk about that because we're approaching episode 25, and I'm okay with putting Super Mario Galaxy into the Hall of Fame, but I think in episode 25, we've got to look back at all the games we've reviewed in the first 25 episodes of the show, or I guess the first 24, and then we got to make a big, giant list. So.
Yeah, we need an actual site dedicated just to the Hall of Fame. That sounds good.
So I think that this game was the 8th best-selling Wii game worldwide. And I'm just like, 8th spot? Like, what? Like, of course, Wii Sports beat it out, right? Because that came with the console. Mm-hmm. But what beat out Super Mario Galaxy? This game's incredible. It should have been, like, number one. Like, I guess Brawl, maybe? Not Brawl.
No More Heroes?
No. probably like Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Probably.
Quite possibly Brawl. Maybe 2. Maybe Super Mario Galaxy 2 beat it.
Yeah. It's quite possible. But either way, like, this Super Mario Galaxy won, like, a ton of awards.
And very rightly so. I think this game is near flawless. In fact, I think it is flawless. Like, I had zero problems ever playing this game. And I think that this is the definition of, like, a 10 out of 10, a 4 out of 4 stars. This is, like, the game to beat.
I agree.
Totally agree. Super Mario Galaxy, one of the greatest games ever made. If you disagree, I dare you to email us.
Yeah.
Double dog dare you.
Awesome. So I think we're going to take a brief break now that Super Mario Galaxy has been properly supported. We'll be right back from break, and then we will talk about one of the greatest indie hits that we've had in a while.